When I gave her, she had come out, a denomination was having service right in her house with a few people. And when I gave her a tape to listen to, and she said, I knew I wasn't crazy.
Good for her.
God was speaking to me.
Glory to God.
I
know it. He's speaking to all his people, and if his people get full enough of him, they'd recognize it. It would influence them. They'd recognize it when they heard somebody else say it.
But she was so happy to get that paper.
I'm sure.
That did her so much good.
I'm sure. I'm glad. See, I have set before thee this day the life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways. This is Deuteronomy again. Well, Paul was doing that too. You can imagine. Deuteronomy 30:15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy children may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. That's where I'm going to stop, so you can think on that tonight when you go to bed and go to sleep. God will rescue his people no matter what kind of mess they've gotten themselves in if they just repent. His first choice is to bless. And he does it every time somebody gives him the opportunity. Help us. Oh God, give us the kind of spirits that puts into practice the things we know from you. Help us, God, to love your people as you do. Grant your people mercy. Raise up pastors after your own heart and anoint them and bless them and talk to them. And let your people be fed the good word of God and be healed the terrible disease of Christianity that you've cursed your people with. God, forgive us and cleanse us and heal us and unite us with your people all over the world. Heal us, God. Make us one again, so that men may believe in Jesus and see what he can do for those who trust him. We praise you, God, for your great mercy that we've known. And that's what we're trusting in for the future. We don't trust in ourselves, God, and our own thoughts and our own strengths. We don't have any. We don't have any wisdom, God, to save ourselves with. We're trusting in your mercy. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Manatana namasida da da na na makana na na na. Praise God. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. By his hands we must be fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. do you really know this about me? Do you really, like, do you really know this is the kind of person I am? Jesus wants us to know He is very kind-hearted, full of tender mercy. No matter what, no matter how we messed ourselves up, He's got the solution for it. It just doesn't matter. We are just irrelevant. It's not about us. It's about Him and His power. Some fall this way and some fall that way and some fall over here and some slip up at that. Doesn't matter. The same answer for everybody. The love of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God. It doesn't matter what our problems are because it's not about us. It just doesn't matter. Amen. And He has smitten us and He will bind us up. He's wounded us and He will heal us. Praise God. God is better than we know. He's better than we know. He's just better than we know. God is better than we know. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Joshua, Hoshea, the son of Nun. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel, and he said unto them, Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall observe your, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. Your life depends on these words that are coming out of my mouth. It's not for nothing. Listen to them. And through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land, whether ye go over Jordan to possess it. And the Lord spoke unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, Get thee up into this mountain Abarim, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. And behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for possession. And die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people. As Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people. Because both of you, ye, as plural, because ye trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because ye sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither unto the land which I give the children of Israel. So the last thing Moses does is bless the tribes. This is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, The Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran. He came with 10,000s of his saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in your hand. Now, who is his saints? Who is the his there? Whose saints are they? They're God's saints, so there's God. All God's saints are in your hand. Who is the your there? Who's thine? It's got to be the Son of God. They weren't in Moses' hands. He was about to die. If you pay attention to these verses like this, especially in Psalms, you'll see the Father and Son talking to each other a lot. If you pay attention to the pronouns. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was, look what he's called here. Moses is called a king. And he was king in Jeshurun, or in Israel, when the heads of the people and of the tribes of Israel were gathered together. And Moses said, Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. And of Levi he said, Let thy lots that the high priest cast before the Lord, Be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massa, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah. Who said unto his father and to his mother, this is Levi talking now, who said to his father and to his mother, I have not seen him. Neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children. What's he talking about? When did Levi say to his mother or father, I don't know who you are, to his brothers and sisters, I don't know who you are, to his children, I don't know who you are. When did Levi say that? At Mount Sinai, when Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? Levites came to him and said, take your swords and kill whoever you come to first. Well, who are they most likely to come to first? Yeah, one's closest to them, but they didn't pay them any attention. They were going to kill until Moses said stop, until God said stop. They have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. That's why God chose them for his priesthood, for his religious service, for his judges, because of that day, what they did at Mount Sinai to avenge that golden calf that Israel had built. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee and whole burnt sacrifices upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. And of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety beside him. And the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. What in the world is that talking about? Who is the beloved of the Lord? Well, when you get into Canaan's land, Judah's going to be here. Ephraim going to be there. Little bitty Benjamin's right in the middle. Benjamin's a very small tribe. So these are the two shoulders of the Lord, Judah and Ephraim. We've talked about that. Two tribes that were the heads of Israel eventually. And little Benjamin squatting down between them. And the beloved of the Lord is the place God chose. And later Jesus, of course, at Bethlehem, but beloved of the Lord is going to be beside him, no matter who's the head of the tribe. Who's the head of Israel? Which tribe is? All right. Verse 13, and of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath. And for the precious, the deep that coucheth beneath. That's something beneath the earth, isn't it? They must have a big reservoir of water there. I wonder if they've ever found it out. And for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the good will of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And they, the people of Joseph, are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And of Zebulun he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. We're talking about the book of Judges here. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of the treasures hid in the sand. God's got treasures hidden in that sand in their territory. I don't know if Israel's ever found them or not. I doubt it. But God will reveal it in his time. And of Gad he said, blessed is he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the first part for himself, because there, in a portion of the lawgiver. Who is the lawgiver? Moses. So in the portion of the lawgiver, here around Shittim, where they were camped, was he seated. That's where Gad's place is. And he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel. And of Dan, he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. That's a clue to what happens in the book of Judges. And of Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. And of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. That's that verse right there is referred to in that song, How Firm a Foundation. As thy strength, as thy days shall demand, so thy strength shall thy strength ever be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arm. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Missing tooth, and they're sitting there and they're arm wrestling. Their arms give out. They don't have everlasting arms. God's got everlasting arms. Nobody beats him in arm wrestling. Take you straight down. Praise God. That's a tough guy. Amen. That's a really tough guy. Men don't even know what tough is.
That's right.
Don't even know what it is. Praise God. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Praise God. praise God. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, whether you know it or not. Happy and blessed are the same word. Asher, the tribe of Asher, his name means blessed or happy. That's how you spell it in Hebrew. Asher. Happy, blessed art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord?
Glory hey, God. Hey.
Who is like you? Who is like you? There's none like you because there's none like him.
Amen. That's right.
Hey.
Glory to God. The shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places.
That's true.
And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho, over the river from Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan. That's northern Dan up there. All the land of Gilead all the way up to the top of this map here on the wall. And all of Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh. See, Ephraim and Manasseh all over here. Naphtali way up there. Judah down here. And all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea. Let him see all the way across the Mediterranean. This is a supernatural vision. You stand on top of that mountain, I doubt you see all that much. Just in your natural self. I like to try it sometime and see, but I kind of doubt it.
Special binoculars.
Yeah, special kind of binoculars. And the south, that's the Negev desert, the southern desert. And the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, all the way down to Zoar, down where Sodom and Gomorrah were. And the Lord said unto Moses, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto your seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. Do you know that the devil wanted that body?
Yeah.
And the angel of the Lord came down and quarreled with the devil about it. The devil could have used that body to deceive a lot of people. That's mentioned over in the book of Jude, the letter of Jude in the New Testament. The angel of the Lord. Did he mention it was Michael or? I think it says Michael too. I just read it in the news. Right before Revelation. Yeah, Michael, the archangel. In Jude, verse 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. He didn't scream at the devil. He just said, he dared not bring against him a railing accusation, but simply said, Jehovah rebuke thee. The devil didn't get that body. Matter of fact, God got that body. Moses didn't stay in that grave. When Jesus was on earth, he met him and talked with him. Talked with Moses and Elijah up on the mountain about his death that he was about to suffer in Jerusalem. And when Peter saw it, he was so terrified, he didn't know what to do. He blurted out, Lord, let us build you here three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Jesus didn't even respond. Cloud covered the mountain, and God's voice said, this is my son, listen to him. When that cloud passed by, there was nobody but Jesus left there. He said, come on, let's get back down the mountain. But don't tell anybody what you've seen yet. Praise God. Amen. So the devil wanted that body. God got Moses back up out of the grave.
kept that body. He's still around somewhere. And Elijah. Elijah hasn't died yet. He and Moses are going to preach again. In Jerusalem.
Amen.
And when they come, if you kids are alive, take them a present. And tell them it's from all of us.
Amen.
Amen.
Double portion.
And pray before you leave that God will let them take it. If he does, you have a great reward. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural power, strength, force. Neither was that abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses. Of course, that's before Jesus got here. Whom the Lord knew face to face. In all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land. And in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Nobody like him. And this was written. Nobody like him had come yet. Now, where was Moses? I'd like to go ahead and get those songs and start passing them out. Where was Moses when he died? Mount Pisgah. A lot of the old hymns have references to little verses, the way I pointed out to you, as your days shall demand, so your strength shall be. In that song, How Firm a Foundation. A lot of these old songs have references to little bitty verses in the Bible that people who don't know the Bible miss altogether. This song has a reference to Moses dying on Mount Pisgah. And unless you know that geography, unless you know where Moses isn't mentioned, just Mount Pisgah, unless you know the history of the Bible and the geography, you'll miss the point of this old hymn in that one section. Just a small section. But it's a great song. By the way, before we sing this song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Bob asked a question. Why didn't Moses bless Simeon? There's a tribe left out. So, Darren, why didn't he bless Simeon? Jimmy, why didn't he bless Simeon?
They're going to be dispersed to the rest of the tribes
and be lost. The only thing I can figure is that Simeon is going to disappear in time.
So it looked like I'd want to bless him if I was still around.
I don't know why, other than Simeon's not going to be given a territory as such. He's just going to give him some cities inside Judah's territory because it's so big, and eventually they're just assimilated. Simeon is going to disappear or be assimilated in time, and if that's the only thing I can think of that would have caused the Lord to leave him out of those blessings before Moses died.
That's what Jacob
prophesied. Oh, yeah. Jacob prophesied Simeon would be swallowed up, and Levi. Of course, Levi is just given cities, too, instead of a territory. Okay, let's see if we can catch the reference to the Old Testament here. Yeah, it's in here.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of this shed till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer.
Amen.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour. Till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing
when all troubles are over.
That's right.
Get the most of them while they're here. Get the most out of them. Don't let them go by and get nothing out of them. All the take advantage of the time to pray. The time for prayer is going to be over with after a while, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Use your physical body to sow good seed for resurrection. You're going to get rid of that physical body. You can't use it anymore after a while. Take advantage of the time you've been cursed with. That's what you're alive for. Take advantage of this cursed time. God. Come on over. Amen. A whole lot of times if you hear something that makes people laugh, there's truth in it. They used to have, from what I understand, I don't think I ever actually saw this, but a lot of people have told me that... on Saturday Night Live, they used to have a lady on there that impersonated Barbara, what's her name? Walters? Bob-wah-wah-wah-wah, or something like that. They called her that. And she used to get on there, and she'd report this bad news and that, and she'd finally say, and don't get me wrong here, listen, there's a point in this. She'd finally break down and say, it's just one damn thing after another. Well, it is. It is. Time is a curse. And it's been damned. It's going to be done away with.
That's right.
Your bodies are damned.
That's right.
Heaven
That's
is damned. Earth is damned. The sun is damned. It's just one damn thing after another. Yeah. And we're going to get out of this damn place. And live with Jesus. People laugh at it. Don't know what they're hearing. They don't know the truth that's in it. It's going to burn up.
That's right.
Glory to God.
Well, that's what it's talking about. It's going to burn up.
Amen. No.
Praise
God. You're not damned. You're blessed. You're going to live forever. It describes what God's done. Praise God. Don't be afraid of bad words. There's no bad words. It's just bad people. Glory to God. All words are good when they're used rightly. You don't run from sin. Sin runs from you when you get full of the Holy Ghost.
God's the only one that can do it.
Amen.
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 nasty because they're so filthy. We use some of their bad words and it sounds wonderful because he's wonderful. Amen. Amen. You don't even have to say the word God before you say something's damned. You know why? Because if it's damned, he's the only one who can do it.
Right.
You can't say John damned something. And he has. He's damned everything in this universe. This whole universe is doomed. It's going to burn up. It's damned. There's no way that God's going to change his mind about that. It's going to be done. He said that in the beginning. When Jesus came, he didn't change God's mind. God got so angry that sin came into this universe, he damned it. All Jesus did was make a way out of it so we wouldn't be damned with it. Let's take advantage of the peephole he gave. Let's crawl out of the cave and go into the light and live forever and get out of this damned universe. Hey. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.
I don't think I've ever understood. You said one time the nature of man was just murderous.
Yes.
Murder. That's what our nature wants to do, is murder.
That's right.
And I don't think I've ever seen it as clearly as I have tonight. Just knowing what Israel did is they did not follow after the heart of God. Then it just, their nature took over and they became murderers.
That's
and
right.
It became obvious when they murdered Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah. That's where we're all going to go unless we take on the heart of God.
We're either bowing down to Jesus or we're helping kill him. Or we are partly guilty for that, even though it happened a long time ago. There was an old song in the Church of God they used to sing, some friends of mine as teenagers, Hart Rutz and some other guys. Where's the hammer that drove the nail? If his will now you fail, it's in your hands. Christ is still the same. He feels every pain when men disobey his commands. Where's the hammer that drove the nail? If his will now you fail, and if you're not serving him, it's in your hands. Praise God. And not but two choices when it comes to Jesus. He splits everything right down the middle. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're either killing or you're being put to death by Jesus. Amen. Amen. God, help us. God, help us. Fall on the rock before the rock falls on us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help us, God. Oh, my brother, do you know the Savior who is wondrous, kind, and true? He's the rock of your salvation. There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Do you walk in the way that's new? Have you drunk from the living fountain? There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Do you pray unto God the Father? What wilt thou have me to do? Never fear, he will surely answer. There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Then go out through the streets and byways. Preach the word to the many or few. Say to every fallen brother, there's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Hey, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for His mercy and kindness and goodness to us. Saw a beautiful sky today that He created. Did you notice it?
Yeah.
It was really nice. Amen. It's good to be in the presence of His people. Best place on earth. Closest thing to heaven there is on earth. Be in the presence of God's saints. Pure in heart, Billy. That's all that's going to be there. That's all that's going to be there. This is the closest we can get to it. So when you get in the company of those who have a heart for God. And this world can't touch it. Praise God. Praise God. Doesn't even know about it. Doesn't even believe it's there. Amen. Bring somebody in the middle of this place right here. They wouldn't even realize it. They wouldn't even feel it. Glory to God. I wouldn't even know what I was talking about. Praise God. Amen. It's not where your body is, it's where your heart is. You've seen Moses struggle and teach and cry and laugh and rejoice and be happy and be sad, work hard. Now we've got to watch him die. He's right at the end and he knows it. He's as healthy as ever. If they had had glasses back then, he wouldn't have needed them. Just as strong as he was 40 years before. Yes, it is. We'll sing the other song when we get to it, where he mentions the everlasting arms. Chapter 31. Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. He said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. You remember earlier in Deuteronomy, Moses asked God to forgive him for hitting the rock and let him go over. And God said, don't ask me anymore. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them, and Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did unto Sihon, and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage, of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He it is that shall go, that doth go before thee, Joshua. He will be with you. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, the year when they released all their debts, forgave all the debts that were owed them, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. All the males had to present themselves before the Lord 3 times a year, at least, at a minimum, 3 times a year. Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. In the 7th year, in the Feast of Tabernacles, they gathered, brought their families with them, and everybody heard the law read. Gather the people together, men, women, and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn. And fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land, whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua, and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a commandment, a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. They presented themselves to, before God inside that tabernacle. Just Moses and Joshua, that's all. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in the pillar of a cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they have wrought, shall have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods. Now therefore write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them, and provoke me, and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed, for I know their imagination which they go about, even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it the children of Israel. And then God began to speak to Joshua there in the tabernacle. He gave Joshua the son of Nun a commandment and said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God. That's in the most holy place. That it may be therefore witnessed against you. How about that? Put this in the ark as a testimony against you. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, Ye have been rebellious against Jehovah, and how much more after my death? Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourselves. How'd he know that? God just told him in the tabernacle. I know that you're going to utterly corrupt yourselves. God just said so. And turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. It's a good thing to tell people God is great. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of His children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not He thy Father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. The number of the Gentiles is according to what Israel needs to have the best chance of being saved. God has his own ways of population control. You see that work later in Israel's history. It's fascinating. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made Jacob, Israel, ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. He made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock. Butter of kine and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. Greatly blessed by God. But Jeshurun, which is another name for Israel, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness, so blessed. Then he forsook the God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. God is important. God is important. It's a bad thing when people lightly esteem the rock of salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not. To new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten the God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them. My goodness. To abhor is worse than to hate. To abhor means you hate, and also the thing you hate disgusts you. You don't even want to have your eyes on them. You don't even want to smell it. You abhor it with all of your senses, with all of your heart. Men can become so arrogant, so proud of themselves, and so hard-hearted that God abhors them. His own children, even. You know how this happens? It happens 10 minutes at a time. It happens by a person doing something that they know that they shouldn't do, and God doesn't kill them. So they start down the road of assuming he's paying no attention. There's a scripture in Psalms that said, I withheld myself, I kept myself quiet as you continued doing your own foolish thing. And you assumed that I was just like you. You thought I was one of you, just as blind as you are. Don't ever mistake the patience of God for his permission. God's power is so great that his goodness is shown by him not using it in cases where it's deserved. And he knows it. He knows it. I had a cat not too long ago who kept carrying her kittens up into my attic. And it was hot. And we had to get them out of the attic about 3 or 4 times. We'd take them out, go put them back in this shed over here, have her a good place. And the next thing you know, they were missing up in the attic. Elijah had to crawl back across that insulation in that hot weather. He got them a couple of times at least. Finally, when I had to do it, when Elijah was gone, I said no more. But I kept holding myself back because I knew what I could do to that cat. The cat didn't know what I could do to her. And so she just kept doing it. Now her body is somewhere in the county dump because I just couldn't keep it going. Her kittens were getting so they could run away now. So we had to chase them through the insulation in the attic. Tim had to get the last one. I had to leave town and I couldn't reach it. So Tim was good enough to get up there in that hot, sweaty insulation place and get that last kitten that we still have. God is like that with men. He knows what he can do. Men don't know what he can do. So they keep doing, provoking him and keep provoking him. And it's his goodness that they survive. But God's not wanting them to survive to keep provoking them. He wants them to survive to stop doing the wrong thing so that he can bless them. They don't know that either. They mistake his patience with permission. And eventually the hammer is going to fall. And in that day, he says it 100 times throughout the scriptures, you'll know that I am the Lord. You remember that phrase a lot, don't you? Especially in books like Ezekiel. When I finally do it, Ezekiel, in that day, they're going to know that I am the Lord. Provoked they him to anger. Forgot the God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will. This is part of Moses' song, isn't it?
Yes.
What a song. What a song. And he said, I will hide my face from them, and I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation. Children in whom is no faith. You know what froward means? It means arrogant and contrary. Contrary. I had that spirit about me once when I was young. One of the main reasons I ended up wasting my school days is because so many adults around me wanted me not to. My own frowardness kept me from doing the thing that I wanted to do. I wanted to learn, and I didn't even know it because of my own contrary nature. And I've taught you young people over and over again, if you want God's best in your life, give Him your best now while you're young, because if you don't, you're going to miss it forever. I don't know, I never will know what my best in God could have been. This isn't it, as wonderful as it is sometimes. I missed my best a long time ago. I wasted all of my high school days. I wasted all of my college days and didn't find out that I really wanted to learn until I got out of college, where I was around people who didn't care whether I learned or not. Found out the world doesn't care whether you learn anything. And I found out I hadn't learned anything because I was just contrary to the people that loved me, to the administrators who wanted me to do well. And I saw that, and my contrary nature kept me from even trying. What a fool. I was a froward young man. And in my foolishness, I lost something that I can never regain. God's been good to me, far better than I ever thought He would be. But my best was so much better than this. Whatever it is, whatever it was. I thank God for the life He gave me. He gave me a life, Paul. Without His mercy, I'd have nothing, because in the world, I wasted every opportunity I had. God picked me up out of the trash can and gave me a life. I'm just amazed at His mercy. When I found out I wanted to learn, I went at it with all 4 feet. Did everything I could. I learned English grammar when I got to the seminary and they started teaching Greek. When they said, this is a Greek past participle, I said, what? I had to learn English grammar in order to learn the Greek grammar I was being taught. I went on double time trying to regain as much of my education that as I could that I'd thrown away. Study church history, you have to study world history too, that I should have already had in order to learn church history. So whatever they were teaching me, I had to learn what I hadn't learned before in order to understand what they were saying. And God helped me. And I thank Him for that. He gave me a life. Don't waste your time. You never get it back. You never get it back. God says through this song of Moses, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. I will move them to jealousy with those who are not a people. You know who that is? You. You weren't even a people. Now you are the people of God. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Well, here we are. We were foolish and God made us wise. For a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. Use up every arrow I've got. That's how badly they were going to provoke God. They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them and the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword without out on the outside and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs. I said I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men, were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high and Jehovah has not done all this. That's the only reason God didn't wipe them off the face of the earth. One Jewish historian, his historian of the Holocaust in particular, wrote a book about it. John David had to read it at school a couple of years ago. His philosophy is that the suffering of the Jews in the Holocaust, and he goes into some details, he went through it as a child, was so horrific that there was never any justification for it, and there probably is no God. They could never have done anything so bad that they deserved to be treated the way they were by the Germans. I beg to differ.
Amen.
God sent His own Son, filled with the love and the power of God, to do good, to heal anybody of anything, to deliver anybody of any demonic oppression, to forgive anybody of all their sins, and to wash them and give them eternal life. Never mistreated anybody. And they tortured him and spit on him and beat him up and nailed him to a tree and cursed at him while he was hanging there in agony and teased him. God's only begotten Son, the only hope of all mankind. And they treated him worse than dirt. They would have welcomed dirt into their homes before him. They deserve worse than they got. Yes. It's God's mercy that they're even still on the earth. It was a horrible suffering. But didn't we read last Wednesday night what God promised would happen to them if they did what they have done?
Right.
He made the deal and they agreed to it. None of us, Glenn, have suffered the way our sins really would call for.
Exactly.
If God just went strictly by justice.
Exactly.
None of us, including Israel. We've all sinned and gone every man his own way. And God laid on Jesus the sin of us all. Thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
Let's live so that we don't hurt Him anymore. He suffered enough while He was on earth. And He still suffers now because His children are suffering. Because men are suffering when they don't have to if they would just turn to Him. He's not at the place yet to where he never feels any more pain. He still hurts for people. But he's at the right hand of the Father, and he'll ask the Father, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." All we have to do is say, "God, forgive me. I didn't know what I was doing. I was a fool." Last week, Brother Jimmy and Debbie and Barbara and I stopped in on my half-brother's house. G.C. Jr. Talked with him a little while. And he had a career in the military. Somehow or another got a false birth certificate. Got into the Korean War at 15. Had a pretty tough young life. And he told us at one point when he was talking to us what a relief it was. You know, there he was. Ex-military man with the tattoos and the whole nine yards. He had him, you could see him at the edge of his shirt. How he was just curled up like a baby, weeping before the Lord. And what a relief it was to get out of the kind of life he was living. You could feel it when he talked. Just to cry. Because that's the reality of all of us. That's really the reality. There are no tough guys. There is no such thing. Jesus is a tough guy, and he's full of the love of God. Amen. None of us are tough. We're all little kids before God, and what a relief it is to stop putting on and just get there. Like, "God, I'm just a little boy. Help me. I don't even know what I'm doing." And you'll find he's there. Because that's what he's waiting for. He's on go. He suffered and died to be there. And he is there. When we get there, we find him. We find the help we need when we need it. All we have to do is ask for it. Admit we need it. We need help. We need help. I need help. He gave me help because I needed it. And I asked him for it.
Thank you, Jesus.
I found out I needed it when I found out what I'd thrown away. Praise God, He's a good God. He is a good God. Next time you're around some people trying to act tough and cool, one of them hollers out, "Good God, say amen." Agree with them. Surprise them. Let them know what they're saying. He sure is. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art with him in the way. Praise God. Boy. Oh, I wish I could just float up to him and hug his feet. Praise God for what He's done for me and you. He's a good God. He's a good God. He is a good God. Verse 28, for they are a nation void of counsel. They didn't receive the counsel of Moses. Neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise. This is God wishing something was different from the way it was. He's hurting. God is hurting when He says this through Moses. Oh, that they were wise. That they understood this. That they would consider their latter end and think about the results of their actions. There is going to be a judgment, a result. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? They can neither win nor lose a battle except God do it. For their rock, the rock of those gods of the heathen, their rock is not as our rock. Praise God. Even our enemies themselves being judges. The Canaanites knew their gods had never opened up the Red Sea. They never destroyed Egypt with the plagues, all the plagues God sent. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah, drifting into filthiness. God's own children. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? I remember this. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. It's coming. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. You know, Peter mentioned this about God's patience, and he said, consider the patience of Jesus to be your salvation. In other words, Jesus puts up with us until He gets us to the place to where we're ready to be saved. He said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as men count slack. Consider it to be. But He's long-suffering. He doesn't want anybody to perish. That's what Peter said. Not willing that any should perish. Consider the long-suffering of Jesus to be our salvation. That's our hope, that He has patience with us. He told us that in your patience possess ye your souls, and that is 100% true. But let me tell you something else that's 100% true. In His patience possess we our souls too. It takes patience in Him and patience in us. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Oh, I've read that one. Verse 36. For the Lord shall judge His people. He judges them first. And repent Himself for His servants. When He see... This is God again. When I see how bad it's going to be with you, it's going to touch me, He says. My heart. He repents Himself for His servants when He seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their gods? Their rock in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings. Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. Then he says it again to try to get them to understand who he is. See now that I, even I, am he. There is no God with me. I'm it. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Nobody left to deliver somebody when God's got you by the neck. There is none. Nobody to call on. If you can make a noise, call on God. Call on the one that's got you. Praise God. I asked Uncle Joe when I interviewed him for the radio about his healing of cancer. When he was in Veterans Hospital, I said, was there a time when you felt like you got in touch with God? And he talked about the night on his knees beside his bed in the hospital room. Other men around. He didn't have a private room, Veterans Hospital. And kneeling down, looking outside, looking up toward God, a full moon, talking to God. God will listen to his hurting children after he hurts them. I wound and I heal. Praise God. He started crying out to the one who had him by the neck. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I whet my glittering sword, let's sharpen it, and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful to his land and to his people. And that's the end of Moses' song. My, what a wonderful song that is.